couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm David Metzger, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right, and welcome to David Metzger. We haven't had you on since, I think it was Neil was at Sundance, was when you did the show last time, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. Dark days indeed, yeah. Early in the year.
And we are returning to Dark Days Indeed. You know, it's funny, I think that you're only allowed to be on the show when there's just crap in the movie houses.
Yeah, with the exception of, I think, the first show at Thanksgiving. I've kind of been... I've been the winter call-up, I think. Yeah, it's always been cold weather.
Yeah, we were talking about the movies before we got on the air. We were talking about the movies you helped cover last time you were on. It was stuff like the Underworld movie and what was the other one? It was, well, Last Chance Harvey.
But that was
and,
okay. What was the Brendan Fraser movie?
Oh, Inkheart.
Inkheart, thank you. See, I've already forgotten.
So, and now we have more bad movies for this week. David's sitting in for Neil, who has, he's been indisposed again. I guess his gender clarification surgery had to be done yet again, just to clarify.
There were complications.
Yeah, they still don't know. Neck beards aside, you never know. So we figured we'd bring in David Metzger from Bullseye.com to give us his cinematic wealth of knowledge. Before we go on, let's say, how do we get a hold of us? If you want to get a hold of us, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop right up, or Neil and I do, David by default. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And you can leave us a voicemail at 614-388-8735. That's 614-388-TREK. I don't know if we have any voicemails because Neil's in charge of that. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr. David, are you on Twitter?
Not yet. I've been resisting that as long as possible, but I think I'm about to cave.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I thought Twitter was completely pointless, and I am now sort of like... I wouldn't say I'm addicted. I'm not one of those people who has to have Twitter open all the time. But if I've got my computer on and going, I usually have Twitter because the key to Twitter is you just say what is ever on your mind. You'd be like, I've got a hangnail, bloop, and you tweet that out, and people follow you.
Right. I think the reason I've resisted is because I've seen people updating their Facebook page using Twitter, and they wind up kind of dominating your entire page. Neil.
Yeah. Whoa. So it takes a lashing at the other co-host. No, you're right. There, you can tie them together. I generally only do it a little bit here and there. But yeah, some people, whatever goes on Twitter goes on Facebook. But I do like 100 tweets a day more. Yeah. I'll watch a movie and I'll just comment on the movie. It's a great way to comment on movies without disturbing other people.
So. Okay.
Yeah, well, you can.
All right, I will take your word for it for now.
Well, we've got movies. It's a weird time in movies because, of course, being September, they aren't showing very many movies to press prior to the release. It's either ones that they're completely blacked out for the press to see, or they're movies that they are, showing like the night before releases, or ones that they only show in limited markets. But the only one out of four movies that are opening this week that they've shown us early enough in advance for the show is Nine, which is the new Shane Acker movie. He's, of course, today did a short film that was then expanded into a feature film, animated film, a story, a very dark animated film about mechanical creations after the apocalypse.
We had such potential. Such promise. But we squandered our gifts. And so, Nine, I am creating you. Our world is ending. Life must go on.
Now, Dave, I want to give you first crack at this, because I know you were...
So I was hoping to give you first crack at this.
Oh, really? You want to hear what I thought?
Yes, I do.
Really? Okay. The thing is with Nine is I don't know how well it's going to do. I'm just going to preface it by saying I don't know how well it's going to do and how well it's going to catch on, simply because it sort of exists in this neutral zone of movies. It's an animated film, but it's really not for kids.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's very, very dark, but I like dark things. And I thought it was, and I don't throw the term visionary around, but I did feel it had a very visionary style, not just because it's dark, because you can't just, you just don't make a movie that's dark and suddenly have it be declared as visionary, because heck, Igor last year would have been called that. But I thought it dealt with some really interesting themes and issues of loneliness and humanity and what makes people human and creation, creation of sort of like creating other things, not creationism as a political thing, but sort of like what makes us human and what would happen after, you know, in this kind of world. I thought it was a fascinating movie. It runs very short. But the more and more I think about it, the more I enjoyed it.
The movie looks spectacular. I mean, there's no question about that. I really like the just not just the characters and the way that they moved around. They look very neat. Just the backdrops. I mean, it's very bleak, and that's one of the things that I kept asking myself, as you pointed out, was who are they making this movie for? Because while it's one thing to not make a movie for kids, that doesn't necessarily mean you're making a movie for adults. I'm really not sure who this movie is going to appeal to, except for goth kids, maybe. And again, it looks great. There are some unbelievable chase sequences in it that would just wipe Jurassic Park off the map. Think my main problem with it was I felt the same way about this as I did about watching the last Transformers movie, in that it has lots of plot but very little story. I didn't feel like there was much in the way of character development. So I'm watching some of these characters, you know, not to spoil anything, but, you know, there's some people who die in this movie, and I was losing track of who it was I just watched die. And I just wasn't that emotionally involved, unfortunately, which is too bad, because again, it looks magnificent.
Yeah, well, I felt kind of like I did when I originally, I'm talking like first time in the movie theater, saw The Nightmare Before Christmas, in that I thought it was, it looked great and it had some fantastic concept and it kind of had a great world, but it just there was something lacking. And over the years, Nightmare Before Christmas has really grown on me and become a favorite. And maybe it was because it was such a short movie, but I remember being a little bit disappointed when I first saw it in the theaters. But then upon reflection and watching it again, I've grown to love the movie. And I have the same feeling on this one, that I think 10 years from now, watching it on, you know, when they re-release it for the umpteenth time on whatever format video we have, you know, 10 years from now.
That's when they upload it straight into your brain.
Exactly. It'll be like probably one of my favorites. I had such trouble writing my review of this because it's so hard to describe and encapsulate and put into words without making it sound just rock stupid. And it's not.
I got to the end of my review writing it up before I realized that it was even a short film. And I did some late research on that one, and then watched the short film, and it looks great. I mean, and it works as a short film because you don't need the character development that you need for a full length feature. And actually, it's fitting that you mentioned Nightmare Before Christmas, given that Tim Burton was a producer of this movie.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to give it our grades, right?
Yeah, I would say for me it rocks, just because I thought it went where it needed to go.
Unfortunately, I'm going to say kind of sucks. I thought it looked great, but I just wish there was more emotional development to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, not everything can have Optimus Prime in it.
No. Or, what is it, Muds and...
Skids.
And we're back with Fat Guys at the Movies. And what do we got on our plate here, Kevin? We've got Sorority Girls, Fat Suits, and Kate Beckinsale.
Which would normally sound very promising, but it's not.
No, not really. They're not showing two of these for us, and the other one they pushed so late that we couldn't possibly get a review up in time for Friday papers.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't be able to record the show and get this out in a timely manner either. So, and that first one is Sorority Row. This is Summit Entertainment. I got to give Summit some credit because they've pretty much screened, I think, almost everything that they've had recently, for us at least. They screen elsewhere, but for us lowlifes, what do they call us? Rodents in Columbus.
Rodents, yes, we are rodents.
Yeah, they screened like Band Slam, and they screened Next Day Air. So they screened a bunch of stuff. Not a whole lot of good stuff, but they did screen some stuff for us.
Well, the Hurt Locker. I like the Hurt Locker.
Was that Summit?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, because there was also
Hard to Believe, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's also Knowing and Push. Those are ones from the spring that they screened. So, you know, I got to give kudos just in general. Give kudos to Summit Entertainment for being able to screen stuff for us critics in Columbus who live in Columbus, as opposed to, you know, people who live in other cities that might have, you know, more reasonable numbers for the studios to take.
That's right. And I also give them credit for, you know, for releasing Sex
Drive in years.
I know Sex Drive was awesome. Rumspringer.
That was very, very funny.
I saw your Facebook status not too long ago. You just screamed Rumspringer.
I did, and nobody got it.
I got it. I just couldn't think of anything clever that didn't sound creepy.
That's fair.
But, anyways, let's talk about Sorority Row. This is a movie with sorority sisters accidentally kill one of their own in a prank, and she seems to come back for the grave, or as you like to call it.
I know what you sorority sisters did last summer.
Megan's dead, and we're all responsible.
I don't see a way out of this.
Maybe there is.
I'm not gonna let this ruin our lives.
If we all stick to the same story, no one will ever know.
Congratulations, graduates.
As happy as this day is, one of our sisters is still missing. To Megan, we love and miss you.
Oh my God.
It's a prank. It's the only explanation.
Hello?
I have one, guys. Megan came back from the dead. Now she wants to kill us.
What do you? I mean, they didn't screen this for us at the time of recording. Let's just put it that way. Sort of at press time. They are screening it, but we haven't seen it. What are your thoughts on what this movie's going to be?
What are my thoughts on it? I mean, other than
these are a Nostradamus review.
The title. You mean like in terms of who the killer is, or
no? What do you think is? Do you think it's going to be any good?
No. No, the one bonus point I'll give it is that isn't that Allison Jones or Cherry Jones that played Allison Taylor, the president on 24? Isn't she the house mother?
Oh, is she?
I believe she is. Yeah.
Hopefully, she's a better house mother than she is a president, because she is the worst president ever on television.
Oh, you think
she's like wishy washy? Oh yeah, give me David Palmer any day.
Oh well,
man.
David Palmer was great, but his brother was not very good.
Oh, his yeah, his brother was sort of like his brother was like the if Michael Jordan's cologne avatar became president.
I don't even know what to say in response to that. But anyway, no, I don't think this movie's going to be particularly good. And I'm not even sure I'm going to go see it, to be honest.
Are you a fan? But you're not a fan of sort of like that sort of teen horror slasher.
It depends.
Movie, are you?
I love the Final Destination movies, with the exception of the most recent one. Seem to have
the number one movie
for
the last
2 weeks.
I know,
my mind. It's the weakest of the bunch, and it's making the most money. I mean, I like the ones that I think have a bit of self-awareness. This one seems to be taking itself very seriously. And I don't know, I think it's just, there's just no time. I don't have the time for that.
These movies, they resurrect every 10 years or so, because, you know, you make the joke about I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is exactly what this is. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, or Urban Legends. These sort of teen horror movies, you know, for what they are, I don't know, this is probably going to be okay. I guess, I don't know, not to sound like a sexist, but I think the quality of this movie is going to be directly in correspondence with, you know, how much breasts we have in it, which I don't think there will be very many.
I don't think there's going to be much.
Even,
I think there'll probably
rated,
be one girl.
Is this rated? What rating is this? I'm looking at the pass here.
Oh, I'm guessing it's an R.
Let's see. It is rated.
I mean, there's going to be blood, so I'm sure there'll be one nude scene and a bunch
of blood. It's rated R for strong bloody violence, language, some sexuality / nudity, and partying. I don't know exactly what sexuality / nudity is. There might be some.
And you can get an R rating for partying.
They're really stuffy there at the MPAA. There was a period where they were saying they were going to make any time that they're smoking, they're going to make it an immediate R. That was being tossed around a couple years ago, and I'm like,
oh, kidding me?
Yeah, don't re-release 101 Dalmatians because Cruella de Vil smokes in it.
Right.
So, go figure. I don't know. This one, I'm not dreading it, but I don't think it's going to be that good. Considering what terrible horror movies we've had lately, this one could be okay. In from a slasher movie sort of perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the fact that they're hiding it from us, I mean, again...
No, they're not, not
know,
totally
props to Summit for screening it for us, but, you know, they're screening it at the last possible minute, and that's never a good sign.
They're not hiding it like the next movie, which is Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself. More of Tyler Perry in a fat suit.
I'm my dear, and they're going to break in this house.
Gonna call the cops on us?
I'm calling the po-po.
I don't know what's wrong with these children today. Where are your people?
Do you know these children, Hooker?
That's my aunt.
What y'all want me to do? Help us?
My grandma used to tell us to pray about it.
Then that's what you ought to do, y'all. Pray about it. Talk to the Lord about it.
Would you teach me?
Oh, child, I ain't talked to God since the last time I saw a cop in my rearview mirror.
How many Tyler Perry movies have you seen, David?
None.
As we
discussed in the very first show that I did with you guys, when they make Tyler Perry's Donkey Punch, I'm in. Okay, they haven't made that one yet, so I'm staying by the sidelines.
They did make a Donkey Punch movie, though.
They did. They did indeed. I haven't seen that either.
But there was no Tyler Perry in a fat suit in that movie.
No, I got in a fat suit shenanigans when I saw Norbit a couple years ago.
You know, I pointed this out. I was the guest on Reject Radio last week with Dr. Cole Abias, and I pointed out to him that there are so many movies like this that it actually garners its own category in IMDb or Box Office Mojo. They literally now call them fat suit comedies.
Oh, like Big Mama's House and The Nutty Professor and all that.
Yeah, Big Mama's House. And like they throw in Mrs. Doubtfire in that list.
Oh.
Of course, the Academy Award nominated Norbit.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that scary? Is that a sign of the apocalypse? Isn't that one of the Four Horsemen?
Well, in one of the Four Horsemen, maybe the fourth and fifth horsemen would be the fact that they're making Big Mama's House 3.
Oh, for crying out loud, you're kidding. No. Did the second one make enough money? It must have, I guess.
Always. Fat suit comedies are gold, man.
Ooh.
You take some guy, put him in a fat suit, it's just going to make money.
Right. And Ryan Reynolds do one of those?
It was Just Friends, which I liked. I thought Just Friends was a hilarious movie. But he was just fat. He wasn't a fat woman. Apparently, that's the key to comedy gold.
It's cross-dressing, too. Okay.
Yeah, fat woman suit, so... I don't know. This is going to be the same of every other Tyler Perry movie that's out. I mean, it's for an audience, and the audience eats that stuff up. So, but it gets a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to us.
Yeah, when was the last Tyler Perry movie they even showed us?
They had a screening for Why Did I Get Married when I snuck into it, the last like official screening was Diary of a Mad Black Woman was his first movie.
That's a while ago.
Yeah, like 4 years ago, and right. Since then he's made 18 movies.
Right. And so while I'm not bummed that they didn't screen that for us, I am kind of bummed that they didn't screen our next movie.
Yes. That would be Whiteout. It's just like The Thing, only not as cool.
Delta 1-1 to base. We're making our final approach. Carrie Stetko, please call calm at 282.
This is United States Marshal Carrie Stetko, over.
We have a real situation developing.
What happened out there?
We were out looking for meteor samples. And then the radar went off the charts. We hit something big.
They screened this in limited cities. I know they had a screening in Cleveland, but I just didn't drive up for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still not sure what to make of it. Like, I mean, it's a lot of quick cuts. And, you know, as you pointed out, I mean, it seems to be heavily modeled after The Thing. Underground beastie kind of thing. I don't really know, but
I don't even know. I've seen the trailer like a dozen times. I have no idea what this movie's about. They're in Antarctica. It's snowing and people are dying.
Right, and they find an airplane or something?
Airplane or spaceship?
The ice shelf, and then
the Titanic. I don't know.
Stuff happens. Yeah. Kate runs.
Yeah, but it's a Kate Beckinsale. But she's going to be in the Antarctic, so she's not going to be in a bikini. So
right.
I'll probably go see this at like the midnight
show.
Or in
skin tight leather. Yeah.
Pity. We'll see what
Sorry. Preemptive suck, guys. Pity.
Preemptive suck. We got to go to a break.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
Okay, and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We have done our reviews and previews of the movies they didn't show us. And we're batting, what, about a 500 on the movies they showed us, because you didn't like 9.
No, I wanted to. I wanted to like it more than I wound up liking it. I think the more I thought about it, the more I started seeing flaws with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when everyone came out, because, of course, you know, since, you know, in case the listeners don't know, you and I, we live in the same city, so we end up at all the screenings together.
Right.
When everybody came out of that, out of the theater, I got a general sense of sort of like a, not a dislike for the movie, but just sort of like a meh, you know, the M-E-H, meh, yeah, feeling from a lot of people.
Yeah,
I had to run out because I had a babysitter that I had to relieve, but that was kind of the general consensus of a lot of the people at the screening, wasn't that?
I'm afraid it was. Yeah. I mean, I know that Jason, my cohort at Bullseye, just flat out disliked it, and I think Kristen Dreyer Kramer felt the same way I did about it.
Jason doesn't like being manipulated. I know he didn't like the whole 9/9/09
right,
release date and everything anyway.
Right, and I don't like being manipulated either. You know, and especially this movie does get a little preachy, evils of technology thing, which is always funny when they use cutting edge animation to preach that moral. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to before we talk about how well we think anything's going to do this week. Let's move on to the box office from this past week, or as I like to say, the depression period of the show. Final Destination 1, again, second weekend in a row, and it's just making mad money. It's over $50 million domestic.
Right.
And
the worst of the series, and it's going to make the most money.
Yeah. Well, and I said this, I said this off the air during the break. I think it's because of 3D. I think the 3D is helping most movies, with the exception of stuff like Battle for Terra and Fly Me to the Moon. If it's released in 3D, it makes mad money.
Right. Although I wouldn't say Coraline made a ton of money, but yeah. I think that was just more because that movie was pretty creepy, and I think a lot of parents just kept their kids away from it, which is too bad.
Well, I think
it
Coraline,
was really, really
there's a
good.
Lot. There's a lot to tie between Coraline and 9. Actually, they're both released by Focus, and they're both sort of what I consider really neat movies, but they don't quite have a solid audience.
No, that's fair. I would say Coraline had more of one than 9 does.
Yeah. But pretty much everything else, I mean, if it's released in 3D, like G-Force made tons of money. You had, even these movies like Bolt, which wasn't exclusively in 3D, but it was in 3D, did
right.
very, very well. Now your theory for why these make money was ticket prices, right?
Well, they're adding $4 to every ticket. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they're cutting any discounts to the kids on that, are they?
Well, it's let's put it this way. It's not as expensive. It depends on the theater too. If you go to a really nice digital projection theater that has a really nice system, you're still going to be paying $12, and then it's like 10 or maybe 9 for kids. I'm not sure, but it's still a premium price for kids. If you go to like a cheaper movie house, a lot of times you can get a discount on it, but I don't know what the projection's like.
Right.
Even in 3D, it's in 3D, but you can get better prices for kids, but still you're going to be paying more across the board. But you're not paying the full $12 for a child.
But it's still roughly a 30 to 35% markup on ticket price across the board,
oh, sure.
right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And
like
which I don't know exactly.
Right. So
they're already.
I'm sorry. If they issue this in 2D, it's probably sitting at what, $35 million right now?
Yeah, probably. And this one is, of all the ones they've released recently, it is the most gimmicky, I think,
absolutely.
Of the 3D movies. But for me, the reason 3D, it's not just because of the ticket sales. I mean, the ticket sales do help, you know, help the budget or help the revenue. It's 3D is one of the, now that you've got Blu-ray at home and you got these stereo home systems, you can get a 90-inch television and have a home theater system and watch a movie in the comfort of your own home with just as effective as you can in the big screen. Yeah, it's not a 20-foot high screen, but you can have, you know, 1080p giant screen in your home and have it still look fantastic.
Right.
You know, The only thing you can't do 3D. And 3D, this digital 3D, which looks fantastic, you can only get that in the theaters. And I think that is one of the driving forces as to why these 3D movies are doing so well, because you can get GeForce, you can wait for GeForce or Final Destination to come out on DVD or Blu-ray, but you can't experience it in 3D unless you get that crappy red-green, red-blue, or whatever the anaglyph glasses, right, that, you know, the old-school stuff, which looks terrible anyways. Because Coraline was released in 3D on Blu-ray, but, you know, it was still that red-blue crap.
Oh, was it? I haven't seen the Blu-ray for that.
Yeah, they still haven't gotten a way to package that digital 3D to the home market, which even if they have it, they got the technology, they can do it. I think they want to keep that exclusive to the cinemas because that's where they're going to be generating most of their money.
Right.
And now there's a rush to make everything 3D, which it's going to backfire to a degree. I mean, they're like talking about converting Iron Man 2 into 3D
after they've shot it on 2D cameras, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look as good. I mean, it looks in 3D, because they did that with Superman Returns. They did the select scenes in 3D, and I went into the theater and saw those in IMAX, and they looked okay, but they didn't look awesome. They didn't look as good as if they did, if they originated it on 3D, so.
Right, well, my problem, is I just can't help but look at 3D as nothing more than a gimmick, so when it starts to dominate the creative process, that means you're sacrificing the more important things like, story, character development, all that stuff, to have somebody playing paddleball at the beginning of Monsters versus Aliens, so I'm actually eager to see this go away as quickly as it came. That's just
I've always been a big fan codger. I've been a big fan of the 3D if it enhances the movie, and I thought Coraline, with the exception of one or two little gimmicky shots at the very beginning, I thought Coraline, the 3D enhanced the movie. It wasn't gimmicky like the Final Destination, but it does enhance, and I think it makes it a better, better performance. If it can make the movie better by immersing you deeper into it, I support that. Plus, I find 3D really kind of cool. So,
well, with Coraline, they put the story front and center on that. So yeah, and that did look very good. But the most important thing was the movie itself, and it just all goes back to the story for me. You have a good story, 3D's just, it's gravy.
Yeah. So. Well, getting back to the box office, we've got, Inglourious Basterds came in second. That was kind of a big surprise. All About Steve came in kind of this horse race between the three movies, but still came in third. And then Gamer, which was supposed to win the weekend, people were tracking that to win the weekend, Gamer came in fourth, and Extract barely made the top 10. So everything less than $15 million for the weekend, which is pretty sad. I mean, it was a low performing weekend.
Right. I was surprised that Gamer did what it did. I figured Gerard Butler alone would be enough to lift this to at least a third place finish, second place finish, but
It had terrible word of mouth.
Yeah.
It had awful word of mouth, and I think that's what killed it. Whether it's Twitter or people talking to friends, or people reading reviews of people who went and saw it at midnight shows.
Right.
I just think I heard very, very little good things about it from the people who should have liked it. So.
Right. Yeah, I spent last weekend going to see District 9 again. So.
Oh, it's a good movie. What do you think is going to win this weekend?
I think it's Sorority Row is going to win.
Really?
Yeah, it's either that or Tyler Perry. I don't know. The Tyler Perry movies have been kind of, hit and miss. Haven't they?
Tyler Perry with a bullet for me. I think he's going to win this just because it's Madea. He's every movie he's done with Madea has done well. His only sort of like pseudo bomb, not even a bomb, but his disappointment was Daddy's Little Girl, which had nothing to do with Madea, and it didn't even have him really in it. But every other Tyler Perry movie that's been released has done well. If I were a betting man, that's where my money would be.
I will bow to your Tyler Perry knowledge on this one.
Yeah, I don't know. The other reason I think Sorority Row might have, with the exception of Knowing and Twilight, Summon hasn't had a really good solid release.
No.
To win. So.
No, unfortunately, they
even
haven't.
Though they've had good movies, sometimes
I like their spunk. They pick some neat projects. I think it's, I don't know if it's the marketing aspect of it that just that does them in.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it's just Well, let's do it quickly, rock through a Fat Guy 5. We only got a couple minutes left here, but this week's Fat Guy 5 are some of our movies we like that have numbers in the title. This is in, of course, honor of 9. Not 7 of 9, but 9. do you want to do... you can go ahead and do the first one.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we're actually going to use two movies in an installment and put them together, Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13. We're going to skip Ocean's 12 because, well, it just needs to be skipped. I really liked the first and third installments of this. The third one in particular, just because they clearly were having such a good time making this movie. And they went back, and I think they realized they'd made a mistake with the second one, and they said, we got to make this right, and they did. Yeah,
it was. They're fun. They're just fun movies. They're nothing more than just a big little romp through criminal natures. So, yeah, I like those. The next one is 28 Days Later. This is Danny Boyle's foray into horror movies, and what I thought redefined the zombie movie without actually being a zombie movie, because they weren't technically zombies. They're just infected people. But I just thought it was a chilling, visceral, powerful movie, and it's one of my favorite horror movies that's come out in the last decade.
Yeah, for somebody who prided himself on, I mean, Danny Boyle was always very loved his camera work and couldn't wait to show you, you know. And I like that he went low tech on this, using, you know, handheld cameras and made things kind of gritty. But he captured a really, really good look. I mean, there was a couple of the scenes from the viewpoint of the infected were some of the creepiest things I've seen in the theater in years.
Yeah. Next one, what you want to do this one?
Yes, I would be glad to do this. 12 Monkeys, Terry Gilliam's apocalyptic sci-fi flick. Well, another one starring Brad Pitt. He's all over this list, isn't he?
He is all over this list.
Not to give anything away. Uh-oh, did we give away our number one?
Well, and I'll tell you, 12 Monkeys just recently got released on Blu-ray, and it's definitely worth picking up because, for me, it's gotten better each time I've watched it over the last 10 years or so.
I have to admit, I haven't watched it in years, but I need to pull that out because the couple times I've seen it, I've absolutely loved it.
What's also neat about the Blu-ray and DVD, if you get it, there's a documentary, like a feature-length documentary about making the movie, which is almost as interesting, if not more, than the movie itself, because it shows kind of how Terry Gilliam works and kind of what a mess things can be.
All right.
The next one I got to throw down for the dogs here, 101 Dalmatians, probably one of my favorite Disney movies before sort of they had the resurgence in the 80s. I just love this movie, and it has such style and such art to it, and you know, it's a fun little kids movie, and adults can love it too.
Right. And our number one Fat Guy 5 movie with a number in it, 7. David Fincher, yes. Kevin Spacey, Nuff said.
Yes. Awesome movie. Quick honorable mentions. This is yours, 500 Days of Summer for Dave, since you like the sort of independent rom-com.
I did. I loved it.
And I'm going to throw down for District 9. These are in current release, so they didn't make the full list. But
right.
Those are ones you want to check out. That's the top movies with numbers in the title. We got to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk DVDs.
And we're back, and it's time for the DVD roundup. Kevin, what do you got on your plate?
Oh, you that was my sound effect. That's okay.
That hurt.
It was unrehearsed. This
hurts.
Is what happens in the wacky studio in the sky. well, this DVD roundup, why don't you go ahead and start? You've got a couple in there.
I've got a couple. I've got one TV set and one movie that I would like to recommend. The TV set is Fringe, Season 1. I know a lot of people who bailed on the show early, but as it went on, it started catching its groove, and the ending, the last season finale, was one of the greatest season finales I've seen in a long time. I loved it. My movie pick is they are issuing Requiem for a Dream on Blu-ray, Darren Aronofsky's movie about addiction of all forms that is one of the most emotionally exhausting movies I've ever seen in my life.
No,
it's
red
funny.
Meat.
I've owned it on DVD for 8 years, and I still can't bring myself to watch it. And I'll tell everyone that I love it, but I can't bring myself to watch it. And here I am telling you to buy the Blu-ray.
Not watch it again. Well, it's no red meat, right. No refined sugar, and something else that we can't really mention on the radio.
Right.
If you look carefully in the movie, you can see what Christopher McDonald's third rule to keep away from is.
God, I love him in that. We have a winner.
Yes. On Fringe season, let me just mention Fringe season one, which I'm sort of bitter about this because I didn't get sent this DVD, even though I asked for it. Yet I got like Gossip Girl and One Tree Hill and everything else from Warner Brothers. I did not get Fringe, but I did like the show, and like it was like Dollhouse in the sense that it had a slow start and it was really rocky at the beginning, but it did gel about halfway through the season.
And our television guy Will Harris has already seen the season premiere mm-hmm. for season two, and he says it's fantastic.
Really?
So they cool. pick up right where they left off.
Awesome. I'll go through some of my DVDs. This is the primary top pick is The Office season 5, which I didn't watch this in its earlier seasons, but I have to say this is a funny show. And it's the first time they're releasing it on Blu-ray. They've done the first 4 seasons on DVD. Now they're putting it on Blu-ray. Definitely worth picking up. It is very, very funny, and it's got all the deleted scenes, which are considered canon to the show. So if it happened in the deleted scenes, it's technically has happened on the show. Another one that I didn't put on the list. This is kind of a surprise. They've released the Our Gang collection. Remember Our Gang? Well, you probably.
Oh yes.
I mean, you weren't. It was old when you were born, but I mean, it was like from the 40s. The you know sort of like the prequel to The Little Rascals. So yeah, those are available, and they're like exclusively through a Warner Brothers store or something like that. Disney's got some good stuff. They got Bedknobs and Broomsticks. They've re-released that. Have you seen that lately?
No, I have. You know what? I'm not sure I've ever seen it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a cool movie. It's a really neat movie. It's sort of like Mary Poppins, in the sense that it's kind of like they go on these travels and stuff. It's bizarre, and I mean, they've got some funny lines in there. If you take double entendres, but no, it's a fun little movie. I showed it to the kids this weekend, and they loved it. On the Disney side, there's also 2 Playhouse Disney things. If you got little kids, you got little kids. You've got the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is an Alice in Wonderland thing, and they've got a Little Einsteins, which is a neat little show. That's actually a really good Playhouse Disney show is Little Einsteins. So they got a DVD of that, and they've got a Princess video. So I'm sure you got to stock those up because you got a little girl at home.
Oh God, I am gonna. I want to go down that path, but I know it's going to happen.
You're groaning. I hope you're groaning at the princess, not the fact you got a little girl at home.
No. I love my little girl. No, I'm just groaning at all the princess stuff. And the little Einstein's things I need to look into because my son loves all of the baby Einstein stuff. We play those videos constantly.
The little Einstein stuff, check those out. Because your son's, you know, what you'd say, 2.5?
Yeah.
That's a good age to... they really like it. It's got music, it's got art. These are actually a really good series. I'm not a big fan of a lot of preschool programming. It can be tedious, but the Little Einstein videos are actually really kind of cool. And very similar to Little Einstein is Crank High Voltage is on DVD. Because if you didn't throw up watching the first movie, you can catch this one and might like it. So I didn't like it, but you know. Hey,
you didn't like it?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
I need to see it. I thought the first one was just hilarious.
The first one was okay. This one was just it went too far. It was just them saying let's just be stupid. And
I mean, can you actually go farther than falling out of an airplane and living to see a sequel?
See it and get back to me because there may be a yes to that answer to wow. that question. And one I want to mention is an older release that I didn't get a chance to mention a couple weeks ago. Lie to Me season 1 is on DVD and Blu-ray. Have you checked that TV show out?
No, I haven't, but I've heard very good things about it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's sort of like if House, it's like House without the Vicodin addiction and the doctor angle. And what it is it's Tim Roth is a guy who can judge people and tell whether people are lying, and he studies facial expressions. It's very formulaic, like a House episode, but it's still fun to watch. It's a neat show, so definitely I recommend that. And then let's throw out the stinker of the week, the one to avoid.
I can't believe they're issuing this on Blu-ray. I mean, that is just a colossal waste of money. Those are all going to wind up in landfills.
Oh, tell me about it. With Pitoff, the director. Whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, if I directed that movie, I'd go by one name, too.
Yeah,
and then I'd change it. Mud. So, Alan Smithy directed this.
Exactly.
I had nothing to do with it.
Okay, well, for review wrap-up, we had 9, which was the only one we had a chance to see. I said it rocked, and Dave, you said...
I said it kind of sucks. Sorry.
All right. You're apologetic about it, at least. We've got Sorority Row, which we can't really give a preemptive suck because they're screening it. They just screened it late. But we can give preemptive sucks to Whiteout and Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself, even though that's the one that's probably going to win the weekend.
Right.
Next week, we'll be talking Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, The Informant, with an exclamation point, Jennifer's Body, and Love Happens. In the meantime...
So look at that. Things are starting to pick up.
We might have some good stuff.
Just a week away.
Yeah. In the meantime, check us out at fatguysatthemovies.com.